الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receivers. Alhamdulillah, every single one of us in the entire world, whether it is a male or a female, a young, an elderly person, a Muslim, a non-Muslim, but every single person is seeking some serenity, some tranquility, some sukoon in their life. We have many mental pressures, problems, and everybody wants some type of tranquility, serenity, peace, calm, comfort, solace, peace of mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned peace, tranquility in the Holy Quran. And due to the limited time that we have today, we will just mention one or two verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this tranquility that we are seeking. Allah has created the day and the night. And specifically Allah has mentioned regarding the night, Allah has kept the night a means of gaining some solace, comfort, peace of mind, tranquility of the heart. Generally the norm is that a person works the entire day. He toils, he labors. And a man is allowed to go and seek his rozi, his livelihood. Allah has mentioned this in the Quran. وَمِن رَحْمَتِهِ جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِن فَضْلِهِ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ Allah has created the night for you to rest, and Allah has kept the day for you to go out and seek your livelihood. In another verse, Allah has mentioned, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ وَالنَّهَارَ مُبْصِرًا So the word sukoon has been mentioned, where a person rests at night. Then Allah has spoken about dhikrullah. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ When a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this dhikr when he makes, the dhikr of Allah, when he takes the name of his beloved Allah, his beloved creator, when he says Allah, Allah, then this brings some peace, tranquility onto his heart. Ulama have mentioned like how a fish is comfortable in water. And the moment you remove a fish out of the water, it's going to become restless. Like that, a mu'min is always in comfort, peace of mind, when he is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ بُيُوتْ مِنْ بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنَا Allah says, Allah has created for you homes as dwelling places. Again, the word sakan, so that you may get some sukoon, you may get some peace of mind. And then the verse I would like to discuss, which we have heard on many occasions, and today inshallah we will be witnessing a nikah. And it has been long since we had a nikah bayan on the Jummah, and therefore I found it appropriate to speak on some aspects of nikah. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that out of His great signs, if one wants to ponder and reflect and cogitate over the greatness of Allah, His supremacy, His grandeur, then there are signs that have been enumerated in one entire page. And amongst these signs, Allah chose to specifically mention the fact that he has created for man partners from his own species. In other words, man gets married. Human beings get married amongst themselves. Allah has not made it such that man has to marry an animal. We have a husband and a wife. And Allah says, لِتَسْكُونُ إِلَيْهَا. You will get sukoon from her. Comfort, peace, tranquility. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, if you look at her life, she was elder than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very noble family. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the very first 5 verses of wahi, revelation, we know the entire incident, Cave of Hira. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pressed hard on by Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. And he was instructed, Iqra, recite. And Rasulullah pleaded, Ma ana biqareen, I don't know what to recite. And then the first 5 verses were revealed. It's a lengthy incident. And then Rasulullah comes running home from the mountaintop where he used to sit in seclusion, running to his home. And who is there to support him, to care for him, to give him that reassurance, that comfort? Was none other than his beloved wife Khadija radiallahu anha. And immediately when he expressed the thought that now I'm going to be destroyed, this is the end of my life, she says, Kalla, never. Wallah, Allah's qasam, Allah will never let you down. Allah will never disgrace you. And then she enumerates qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that all of us should try and imbibe in our lives. Innaka latasilu rahim. You join family ties. وَتَقْرِي الضَّيْفِ. You entertain guests. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ. You carry the burden of people. People's responsibilities and their burdens you carry it on your own shoulders. وَتُكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ. And people who do not have anything. And you make sure that you try and bring something to them. You earn for them. And وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. When there are times of disaster, calamities, catastrophes, and you are the first person to assist mankind. So she comforts him. And this is the sukoon Allah Ta'ala talks about. When a man goes home, then he looks forward in meeting his wife because he knows after entire days of hard work, labor, he has got his wife who is going to give him that comfort and peace of mind. And Allah says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. 2 things Allah has mentioned. When a man gets married, then Allah places mawadda, which means muhabba, love between husband and wife. Wa rahma, and mercy. So Allah places mercy between the couple. And all of us are witnesses to this mawadda and rahma. We all can mention so many examples of love between husband and wife. A man is grown old. His wife is old, 80 years of age. Still, he says, this is my partner, my lifetime partner. And if anyone passes away, the man becomes so full of sadness and grief overtakes him. He's overwhelmed with sometimes depression because he says, I lost my lifelong partner. This is it. Marriage, what is marriage? As we have mentioned so many times before, it is not just a union, a get-together of a man and a woman to satisfy and gratify a sexual lust. No. It's more far, it's beyond that. It is a social contract. It is an aqd, as we say in Arabic. It is a contract that takes place. And this contract brings about responsibilities of both the husband and the wife. And each one has to play his role. Each one has to play their role. And therefore we find that the only legitimate way, the only hygienic, pure, clean, healthy and correct way of procreation of man is through the institution of nikah. And therefore Rasulullah SAW made it part of his life. We hear in the nikah khutbah, An-nikahu min sunnati. And there was a lengthy incident behind this where 3 sahaba, they pondered and they reflected after they went and found out about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they were told about his habits and his ibadat at home, etc. And then they decided, one person said, well, from today I'm going to keep roza every day of my life. I'm going to fast every single day of my life. I'm not going to skip a single day. And another said, as for me, I'm going to read tahajjud namaz the entire night. And the other said, I will not get married to any woman. I will remain in seclusion. When Rasulullah heard of this, he said, no. This is not my way of life. I sleep and I get up for tahajjud, I rest as well. And I make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the balance of Islam. And I keep roza, nafil, and sometimes I do not keep. I do not fast every single day of my life. And I get married to a woman. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. This is my way of life. If you turn away from this pattern and this way of my life, thinking that you are making a certain type of ibadah, which is more meritorious and greater, no. فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Then you do not belong to me. So this is the institution of nikah, which is so pure and clean. But to maintain this sukoon that I spoke about, to maintain this love, this rahmah, this mercy between husband and wife, as I mentioned, we have responsibilities that both have to shoulder. I will address our groom, inshallah, mainly, and of course, all of us. There are many grooms to be, and most of us are married, and we have wives. And because we are always seeing to problems the society is faced with, and sometimes it actually makes us shed tears. When we learn and when we see such cases where husband and wife, because they're not fulfilling mutual obligations, and over petty issues, that nikah no longer remains intact, and unfortunately it leads to divorce. Let us save ourselves from divorces. If we understand what Allah wants from us, what Rasulullah wants from us. And if you only understand, of course, I'm going to address the groom mainly. Mother and sister listening at home. So therefore I mentioned that the husband goes home and it is the duty of the wife to give him that comfort, the solace. But as men, we have an added responsibility. Allah has mentioned we are qawwamun. Now this word qawwamun, overseers, those who have a certain type of power and authority, but not to bully your wife, not to bash your wife, not to hurt her, insult her, but to take care of her. So, our bride, he'll be given the apple of the eye of his father-in-law today. The father-in-law will be actually giving him the apple of his eye, his daughter, in nikah. So we'll also give him an apple. Please, no iPhone. The apple I will share with you today, simple. I just thought of it, Allah Ta'ala put it into my mind. Something for us to remember and take this back home. For all of us. So if I asked you what Maulana gave at the masjid, you give us an apple. A, it's a mnemonic. If you want to maintain this bond with your wife, who is going to be a life partner, then treat her as an amanat. A stands for amanat. What is an amana? A trust. Allah has entrusted her to you. She has left her family. She has left now her father, her mother, her siblings. She has left her home. And now she is sacrificing all those comforts and pleasures for your sake. And she is going to live with you. So she is a trust. She's in your care. And therefore you are expected to look after this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pleaded on behalf of the wives to the husbands of the world. In the verse where Allah says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, Allah pleads to the men, please look after them with care. Simple translation. Live with them with care, ma'roof, with kindness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also pleaded to us, istawsu bin nisa'i khayra. Look after your woman folk. Rasulullah SAW in one hadith, Allahumma inni uharriju haqq al-da'ifain, al-yateem wal-nisa. Oh Allah, I deem sinful the abuse of the rights of two weak people, the yateem, the orphan, and the wife or the woman. In one hadith it is mentioned, Hunna awanin indakum. They are like captives in your care, in your custody. Obviously, as I mentioned, not to beat them up in any way, but to take care of them. The poor wife has left her father's home. She's unable to just go away like that. So you have got to take special care of her. And therefore, Rasulullah has mentioned, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. The ones that have the most perfect of iman are those who have the best character. And the best amongst you, O men, are the best who are kind to their women folk, to their wives. And Rasulullah has mentioned, perhaps a husband sometimes he finds certain qualities, traits, which he's not very happy with. Rasulullah says, ponder and check. She's got so many other good qualities in her. Don't just on account of one or two mistakes and weaknesses of her, you begin to insult her, you begin to think low of her, you begin to despise her. No. Sometimes it happens that a man is actually beating his wife up. يَعْمِدُ أَحَدُكُمْ فَيَجْلِدُ إِمْرَأَتَهُ. Rasulullah is saying that a man goes and he beats up his poor wife. At the end of the day, what happens? He goes back to her to share the bed with her, to satisfy his desires. This should not be the case. So A, we said, is an amanat. She is in your care. She is a trust that is given to you. And then the P is that you should always praise her. Any woman, they love praises. What will we lose in praising your wife, praising our mothers, praising our sisters? Praise them for the cooking, for the attire, for any good that they have done. Praise them. This will take you a very long way. Then the third P, I'm going to just curtail it. The third P is, they need their privacy. Meaning, husband and wife should be transparent. But the wife needs her privacy. And I'm mentioning this, because generally we find many people complain, Mona, I'm married, my husband, I've got no problems whatsoever, he's such a kind person. But my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, give me no privacy. They barge into my room whenever they want. They open my wardrobes, my cupboards. I've got things that are private in my life. And therefore I need my privacy. Therefore we say, to avoid all those problems, make the family members, both parties should understand that they are married, they are husband and wife. And they should be given their privacy. In most cases we find the ulama, mashayikh, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned also, that especially in today's times, nobody is saying break off your relationship now with your mother and your father and now you're only going to be looking after your wife. No ways. You still respect your parents and your mother and you still show that comfort and kindness to your wife. And therefore, mashayikh say, ulama say, that in today's time, especially because we have seen so many cases increasing all the time, when a woman is not given her privacy, her private room, her kitchen, she also gets family members that visit her. And if this is not found, she's not given her separate quarters, then this leads to many, many problems. So we said, A, amanat. This first P was praising her. The second P we said was giving her her privacy. L, and that is the main thing, love. You're going to show true, genuine love to your wife. Rasulullah SAW's life, his seerah, opened the seerah. You will see love for his wife that he showed. He actually ran races. Of course, not in front of public. He ran races with Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So you would use even the same utensil when you are eating and take that morsel and place it into her mouth. Not only for the groom, for all of us today. Take that morsel of food and place it into your wife's mouth. This engenders love between the two. You are sharing the bed with her. Share the same plate. So you're going to show that love and care. And E, this is very important, especially in today's times. no extramarital affairs. Many people get married. It's not only the newly wedded. Even elderly people today, because of the harms of the social media, through WhatsApp, and through the Facebook, and through so many other things, initially everything starts very innocent. What happens afterwards? Wallah, Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah used to take qasam in Allah. There is no lie. There are so many women crying out. So many people who have caught out their husbands, red-handed, having illicit relationships with other women. It becomes even more serious. I'm not condoning that before marriage is permissible, no ways. But even more serious, you've got a halal, pure wife, and still you are seeking to satisfy your desires in a haram way. There have been severe punishments mentioned in the hadith for a person who does so. So therefore, she's an amanat, you've got to take care of her. You've got to expect many times that a woman will blurt out many things. She'll make some cutting statements. And the husband has to be a man. And he has to ignore those statements. You know, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, we all know him for his courage, his bravery, and how strict he was with Sharia. His own wife tells him one night when he is Amir al-Mu'mineen, I know why you are going on your nocturnal rounds at night. I know why you're going and parading, and oh, you're going through the different roads in Medina. You just want to take a peep at the damsels in the homes. That's why you are going. On the pretext that you are Amir al-Mu'mineen and now you're going to see if any person is sick or any person who needs some help, you're actually just going to peep at those women, those young girls in the homes. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab did not become angry. He smiled and he says, that's an allegation and Allah knows I'm clean of that allegation. Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she's mounted on a camel and after some time she falls off the camel, she's injured slightly. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes running forward. The Nabi of Allah, such love. He goes, Safiya is hurt, she begins to cry. She's a young woman. He actually takes his Mubarak hands, he wipes off the tears from her face. He comforts her. He says, Safiya, don't worry. And then he puts her back onto the camel. So smile at our wives. When we enter our homes, smile at our wives. Very easily, we smile. All the other ghair mahram women in our businesses, offices, our practices, our institutions, the school, and as we're driving, many people wink an eye, cast lustful glances. You smile at the secretary very easily. But that poor wife who's doing all your cleaning, and of course, wife again, does not mean W, washing, I, ironing, F, feeding, etc., E. No. That's not her job all the time. Hadith says, you must feed her. You give her the clothes. It is a kindness, of course, that she is feeding us. Alhamdulillah. Like how we express many other ways of kindness. So this is a mutual understanding. So when she is sick, you've got to take care of her. Hadith of Rasulullah says, لا تقبح. Do not insult her. Do not curse her. وَلَا تَضْرِبْ عَلَى الْوَجْهِ. Never smack her on her face. Do not beat her. So smile at her, make salam. And very important, send her a gift. Give her a hadiyah, a gift. Allah Adul Rasulullah says, تَهَادَوْ تَحَابُّ. If you share gifts, then this engenders love. In the hadith of salam, أَلَّا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Shall I not show you something? If you do it, you will engender love between you. People, afshu salama baynakum. And of course, not only for husband and wife, but for every person. So these are, this is in short, a few advices that we part to the groom, inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala give them barakat and bliss and happiness in their life. There's so many other things, there's so many other recordings that we have that give, that given a talk on nikah previously where I said 5 A's we have to get. And the main A in our life is Allah. If you have Allah in your life, if you have taqwa, in all the verses of nikah, all pertain with taqwa. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. If you have taqwa in your life, if you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will find it very easy that this muhabbat, this love, come between the two. Rasulullah even said, at night, difficult one perhaps for us, but it is time for tahajjud. He gave a dua Rahim Allah. May Allah shower His special mercy on that husband who wakes up at night and he finds his wife sleeping. He just sprinkles some water, just a few drops, to wake her up for tahajjud salah. And if she wakes up first, she does the same. Sprinkle a few drops nicely with love, so he can also stand up and both can engage in tahajjud salah. And finally, a dua that all of us should be making. And wallah, this is a very important dua that will benefit us in our nikah and our offspring. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the 19th para, a dua, O Allah, hablana, bestow upon us, min azwajina, from our spouses, such, and our progeny, that our wives, our husbands, our children, our grandchildren, become a coolness of our eyes. Become a coolness, anki tandak, and make them leaders for those who are pious and righteous. May Allah give us